For those of you that don't know, my name is Hercules. I'm at Shofar HQ, more involved in the outside churches out of Stellenbosch. So I'm not here very often, but I luckily get the slot over the holidays always. So it's always nice to be here with you guys, and especially tonight, to spend time in the presence of God. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me, or if you have an iPad or whatever, then just make sure to turn with me into the Bible so that you can follow with me tonight. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 to 14, a well-known scripture. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. A very well-known scripture, and there's actually a context to this that I didn't always understand and embraced. And so often we use this scripture that God has great plans for you, and we pray it over people, you know, especially when we want to encourage them and to tell them that God still has awesome plans in their lives. Until one day I discovered what the context of this scripture was. And I want to actually share with that with you tonight. And what does this promise mean to Israel at this time? Israel at this time being in captivity, a time that they are in Babylon, actually through a lot of hardship, being taken away from their city, Jerusalem, the tribe of Judah, taken into captivity into Babylon, where their families was actually divided, where they at this stage went through such hardship that all their belongings even was taken from them. And so in the midst of this, the prophet Jeremiah comes to Israel and says, remember, God still has a lot of plans for you. God has plans for you to prosper you and has a heart for you to actually prosper. And you know what? In this time, there's a lot of contention over Jerusalem. From the south, from Egypt, Necho, the leader of Egypt, was trying to invade Jerusalem. From the north, we had Nebuchadnezzar. And we had a very godly king at this stage that also took care of the Assyrians over Israel. And his name was Josiah. And he fought for the freedom of Jerusalem. He went to the south and he fought against Necho, and he died in the battle in Megiddo. And his son then took over in Jerusalem, and then the big battle between the hawks and the doves, the hawks being the Egyptians and the doves the Babylonians, for the contention of Jerusalem. And then we see the picture where Jerusalem was actually destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and you must remember at this stage for Israel, the temple was also the beauty, the presence of God in their midst. And for Israel, through all of the ages, you know that even Moses said, God, if you are not with us, if your presence are not with us, how will we then be differentiated between us, your people, and other nations? So for Israel, this was actually a great devastation, not having their temple, not having the place of sacrifice, and then also even being in captivity in Babylon. And you see the beautiful picture then of Jeremiah coming to them and saying, listen, in the midst of this, I want to remind you that God's plans didn't change. And in the hardship that they are experiencing at this time, you know, I see such resemblances of the Church of Christ at this stage that we are living in. And I can tell you, just last month again, I was just reminding myself, listening to the stories on the TV, Children's Month. And then you listen to so many devastating things that happens to children. Children's throats being slit by their own parents. Raped. Destroyed. And you listen to stories here in the Southern Cape where a woman was bottled up her private parts to death. And you think, you know, where is the world going? What is the devastation that we must deal with and that we are experiencing in this world? And the body of Christ at this stage is faced with. And for Jeremiah at this stage, it's so easy to come to Israel and say that, listen, I've got a word from the Lord. I can tell you that it's beautiful to know what God actually says about you still. In the midst of their captivity, calling out to their God, Isaiah 64, verse 1 to 4. Listen to this, and I want you to follow with me. If you have your Bible with, just turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 64. Make a mark in your Bible. Be blessed by this scripture. I always remind myself about God's goodness. Verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. And that the nations might tremble at your presence when you did awesome things that we did not look for. You came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. And listen to verse 4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. Listen to this. For of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. A full dependence on a God that acts on behalf of his people. A God that can actually not just be a God up there that I pray for and my prayers fall to the ground, but a God that acts in the midst of his people and really wants to commune with his people, understanding their heart's beat. Do you know what? God is the truly faithful one. At this stage, God is expecting Jeremiah to buy a piece of land in the midst of Jerusalem as an act of faith for the 70 years to follow. Where Jeremiah must be honest with himself that the chance is very good that he would lose the land. The chance is that after 70 years, the word that he received from God might not come to fruition. Except if you know the God of Jeremiah. If you are Jeremiah and you know that your God always acts to those who call upon him. One evening I remember so clearly, and I had a beautiful picture about this. My daughter running from her room. And I remember kneeling down and facing her eye to eye. And she said to me, Daddy, I called you. Where were you? And there was something in her eyes that I know that the people of Israel experienced at this stage. You know, a place where God so ministered to my spirit that there's a desperation that we find ourselves in calling upon God. Say, God, I cannot do this without you. The circumstances that I'm living in, the opposition that I'm experiencing, the midst of the chaos that I live in, I so desperately need you, God. Where are you? And for Israel, calling in the midst of their captivity brought them to an understanding that their God was still there. For Jeremiah, it was a hard case because Israel was also called at this stage, the harlot, because of Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Israel, not even deserving the goodness of God. Not even deserving the fact that God says, I still am so serious about you. I still have plans for you. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. If I say, and this is Jeremiah, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. There is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in. I cannot. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And like Moses, you know, he was the one that stood in the gap for Israel, the one that was willing to lay down his life. As Moses went to the mountain to say, God, don't destroy your people. Please, God, have mercy on them. Jeremiah was the same kind of prophet, also struggling with utterance. But still, he offered his life. Jeremiah 11 verse 19a says, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. For Jeremiah, it was a difficult stage, but he knew deliverance came from the one who delivers. But there was a fate for Israel. There was a plan that God still had for Israel. Verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. God's promise. Your fate as a child of God is determined by God. I just want to say it again. Your fate as a child of God lies in God. You know, so often we let the fears in our lives and the circumstances that we live in overpower us to rather see the opposition, the circumstances, than the fullness of God within our lives. Jeremiah 29, verse 5. Listen to this instruction from God. This is not a suggestion. This is not a good idea. This was not God trying to convince Israel that this is a good way to follow. God said, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf for, and listen to this, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Listen to this, people of Stellenbosch, of South Africa, God is saying that in the midst of your circumstances, while you stand in the gap and you start to pray for your nation, for your city, that within your freedom, within your city's freedom, you will find your freedom. That God's plan is bigger than just taking Israel into captivity and just leaving them there so that they would fall into a sorrow and have self-pity over their lives. But God says, I have a plan. I want you to actually live life to the full. That in the midst of the season that you're in and in the circumstances that you are experiencing, I want you to open your eyes to see that I've got great exploits. That in the midst of your circumstances, I'm going to raise up in this 70 years Nebuchadnezzar's eyes to open. I'm going to raise up a guy called Daniel, which is also in captivity, that is also experiencing the hardship of the full Babylonian rule over his life. But him and his friends will stand up and they will be counted. Even if they go through the fiery furnace or they will go into the lion's den, but they will be excellent in everything that they do because they will, in their circumstances, start to rule. In the midst of Babylon, you shout out, you call out, you say, God, I want to experience the fullness of your promises in my life. And for so many in Israel, God says, you know what? The 70 years, and I want to turn back to verse 10 again. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Israel. Okay, are you awake tonight? I lied. This is not what's in the Bible. It says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. God's plan was not even for Israel in the midst of the circumstances that they've experienced, but for 70 years of blessing where Babylon could be turned on his head. So that guys like Daniel would stand up and bring the light to the world. The promises of God to a nation called Babylon. And yet, we so often miss it. That God, through Romans 8, says that I will work your circumstances together for your good. But you know what? It's not about your contribution. We get so focused on our contribution and what we can give to God and how blessed we are and how anointed we can be in this life. And we forget that it's God working through us. You know, I love what Psalm 51 says, and this is David writing, verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in your sacrifice, or in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Listen to this. If you read throughout the Word of God, and yesterday at Jake's wedding, it was such a blessing again just to read through the Word of God, to talk about, you know, just how God favors people throughout the Bible. And if you look at the kind of people that God blesses, the kind of people that God favors, it's just awesome to see their circumstances in the midst of their favoring. The first guy, you know, is the guy Joseph. A guy that it says that God gave him favor in the midst of his circumstances so that he could rule in Egypt. God gave Moses favor so that in the midst of the favor that God gave him, he could rule over Israel and the difficult circumstances of the time. You know, and then you see David, the one favored by God, not doing everything right. Not even by far being a perfect king. But he had a heart after God. He understood what it meant to engage with God in a contrite heart. To say, God, that it's not about me. It's not about what I have to offer. God, it's not about my gifting, but one thing I know, that while I can admit that you are the God in my life, you are the God all over all, like we sang tonight, that you will go before me, your presence will be with me, and God, I will be so blessed. You know, Jeremiah 31, just after 29. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. Listen to 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declare the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. On their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and fixed order of the moon and the stars of light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. You know what? In the midst of this, I know that this year is such a special year for us exploring the keys of David. And I can promise you this is one of them. Understanding the heartbeat of God through a contrite, humble heart. A life of thankfulness. And I can, quickly explain. The story was told of this guy that had a farm. He bought the farm actually from a family that for many generations and from generation to generation farmed on this piece of land. But they could not anymore because they went through a lot of hardship without finances and they couldn't buy any seed anymore to plant. So this guy who was the neighbor, actually bought the piece of land. And on the first harvest, he went through the fields, and as he was walking in the fields, he saw a jewel lying in the land. He took the jewel to the jeweler, and he got a lot of money for it. You know what? That jewel lied there for many generations. But his eyes were open to see the potential of the jewel in the midst of the land. So often, we as Christians are so focused on everyday life and circumstances that we don't see the jewels that God is placing in our midst. We don't live lives where God can actually, show us His goodness, His mercy toward us, His blessings that is bestowed upon us every day. You know, I love somebody like Mariette. Is Mariette here tonight? I always love to just listen to the stories of Mariette. She's probably going to get involved with the students next term. One of these people that's always excited about what God is doing in her life. You know, those kind of Christians that you know that praying for their small toe, they will come back and come and declare, you know what? Oh, God did this great thing in my life. And I can tell you that maturity within Christianity lies within the thankfulness of the small things that God is doing in our lives. Isn't it so? It's so easy to see who's alive in Christ, who's connected with His goodness in their lives because they testify about anything and everything that's happening every day. Because in the midst of captivity, I can tell you that there's a place where we find ourselves in the midst of the field of despair, of no hope, but yet God already gave us the little diamond lying in the midst of the field. You know, I was shocked thinking about it the other day when Nick Mallett spoke, about the rugby and giving a commentary after one of the Springbok games. And he said that in South Africa, the only difference between us and New Zealand actually is that after a game, they would analyze the players each individually. And then after a game, they will sit down and speak to them about the mistakes that they've done on the field to actually overcome those things. The difference between South Africa and New Zealand is actually that the guys in New Zealand would actually go and analyze the creative play that was created during the game, and then afterwards they will praise the guys and encourage them to even do more. We as Christians find ourselves many times focusing so much on the negativity and the things that we can't get right, that life has to offer to us, the things that goes wrong all around us, but we don't see the positive things that God is doing in our midst. You know, I went to Boksburg last weekend. Can you believe it? Of all places. JJ is a new pastor coming to Tigerberg next month. And the evening we spent time with one of his congregation members at a party that they organized. A lady, I think, got 35 or something like that. And so they had this hat party. Now, I don't like stuff like that because I've got a stock in my rug. I've got a, you know, I find it difficult to, you know, do things like that. But it's awesome if I'm in it. I really enjoy it. And I do the thing. And, you know, JJ made sure that I had a police cap on so that everyone would laugh at me and the photos would look very funny. And then we watched the rugby. After the rugby, we got together, and you know, there was saved and unsaved people, all kinds of people, lots of people at this party. And so afterwards, they got together around the fire, and they took the guitar, and they start to worship. Beautiful. Just start to glorify God. And I could see the guys not knowing Christ, not understanding what's going on here, sitting around the fire, being... But it was not long, and I could see that things changed as the night progressed, because then the guys started to just testify of the goodness of God in their lives. And I could see this was not the first time. I could see that, you know, this was actually a habit, that every time that they get together, they use the opportunity to again remind themselves about the goodness of God, of what God did this week. My business fell apart. But you know what? God gave me the biggest contract ever because I cried out to Him. And I could see, you know, that there was such contentment within their hearts. You know, there's a place where you and I find ourselves in the midst of our captivity, having to declare that, God, You are so good. The times when you get to church and you know, raising up your hands is not a good thing tonight because you don't feel like it. And then mechanically, you feel in your spirit, it's time to just raise that hand. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Is it only the pastors that experience this? Times when you get, and the worship team is jumping around and getting so excited, but you are just so out of it. But when you make a decision to mechanically just lift that hand and that other hand, and then as soon as you do it, you can just experience the blessing, the presence of God in your life, and you have these awesome moments in the presence of God. And this is what God calls Israel to. God says that, you know what, in the midst of your captivity, I want to declare life into you. I still have the same plans for you. I still believe the same things. I'm still dreaming about you. Nothing has changed. But I want you to mechanically just recognize that I'm still your God, that I'm still the hope in your life. Just cry out to me. And you know what? What is so blessed? That in the midst of their captivity, they could recognize God is the goodness of their lives. The fact that God is a covenant God. But you know what? Jeremiah must actually remind them, listen, you've missed it. You're so focused on the covenant. And God that must be true to his covenant and must always deliver and must always come through for you, you're like a harlot. Because God is not like a slot machine. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to say to you, I dream about you and I love you very much. Let's stand tonight. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we recognize that, Father, there's chaos all around us. Father, here in our town, it's not difficult to see the darkness, to see, Father God, how chaos is prevailing and agendas being driven, Father God, that is not of you. Our heart's desire tonight, Father God, is to say that, Father, in the midst of our captivity, we will rule. Father, we will know that the 70 years of captivity, Father God, is for Babylon. That you can use us in the midst of our circumstances, Father, to bring hope, to bring your glory, so that all nations will recognize that, Jeremiah, you must be in the authority and in the promises of God, because if you speak, then it's not just Israel that listens, but so many other nations that knows that you determine the timelines of life. That you are the Lord of all, Jesus. That in the midst of this town and its devastation, that you can come and you can bring your plans to fruition. Father, through normal people like us. And tonight, Father, we recognize that so many times we start to exalt our giftings and our callings and our awesomeness, Father God, above your kingdom. And we declare tonight, Father God, that we want to come like David with a contrite heart, a contrite spirit, and say, God, we need you so desperately. Come and change Stellenbosch. And Father, we declare that this chaos will not go on while your people live in this town. Father, I declare tonight in Jesus' name that there's no mountain too high, no ocean too deep, Father God, for your mercy to prevail, for your plans to be unfolded. And tonight we pray for our nation, Father God, desperately. We cry out of captivity, and Father, we say, bring salvation, O God. Bring deliverance, Father, so that again your people would experience the blessings of your presence. And I pray, Father, that even in the midst of our circumstances, that you will raise up so many Daniels that will say that the lion's den does not intimidate me. The fiery furnace will not intimidate me. I'm serving the Lord my God with all my heart. And I'll do it boldly. Oh God, I pray for the fear in the hearts of people. Father, there's so many of us being captive through fear, Father God, in this nation. And we are so afraid, Father, to stand up that the devil rules. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you will remind us again about your plans. That you will give us, Father God, the plans of the 70 years, even because it's not after the 70 years that you blessed Israel, but in the midst of the 70 years. And Father, I pray that your will be done in this town, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing that last song again. And you know what, tonight, I want to ask you, I'm not going to call you out now, but I want to ask you, while the song is played and we sing along, that you would actually respond. If you are in the midst of captivity tonight and you know that God wants you to rule, don't be satisfied with where you're at. It's a command. Love. It's a command, multiply. It's a command, I want you to prosper. because you're my nation. You're my people that I love by heart. And tonight I want you to walk out of the midst of your captivity. Come and stand here in the front and we want to pray with you. We cannot bring any deliverance to you, but Jesus can. He can, through His blood tonight, set you free, and He can speak into your life so that the lights will go on again. So that you will again be thankful for the little things in your life. Get excited about what God is going to do on Monday morning. Not having the blues, but experiencing great things to happen. Because that is the God that I know. It's not the God where I need to fall so that the devil can trample on me, but the God that brings victory in the midst of our circumstances. For Joseph, it's difficult. It's not easy. For Moses, it's not easy. You know, for Noah, he was called the favored one of God in the midst of a lawless generation. God favored him because he had a contrite heart. Tonight, come with a contrite heart to say, God, I just want to live for you. I want to live for you alone and your heart's desire in me. Amen. Let us just sing together. Come to the front so that we can pray for you tonight, because God really wants to set us free. Amen. Yes, Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your life. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what our circumstances look like. You send a Savior. When we're drowning, Lord, you sent the Savior, Lord. And we want to thank you tonight that we can bring all our burdens to the cross. Thank you, Lord, that the cross is the ultimate place of redemption. Because Jesus, you died on that cross. I just sense there's some of us here tonight that it's so easy for you to relate to God as this distant God. He's like out there, and to respect Him and all of that stuff. But do you know the name Jesus was known by in the world was He was called the Friend of Sinners. The Friend of Sinners. And we heard it tonight that there's a place where Jesus becomes your best friend. Jesus becomes the one you can share your heart with, the one you can have life with. He's your Lord, but He's also your friend. And the theologians of the day didn't like that because they ridiculed Him and said, no, you can't be with the prostitutes, Jesus. You can't be with the sinners. You can't be with those because they're not worthy enough. They can't even come into the temple. And there's some of us tonight here that don't feel worthy enough to come to Jesus, and even you've made commitments to Him. Even you've made great declarations to Him. You said, Lord, I bring you all these sacrifices. I bring you this offering. I come to church every Sunday, but your heart is not your friend. And I just sense there's some of us that God wants to break a yoke from today. He wants to be your friend. It's going to cost you something, but He wants to come to that place where you understand when He relates to you as a sinner and as somebody that's unworthy, He becomes your friend. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus in a personal, in that place of relationship in your heart, or maybe you've just grown so into stuff, into doing things, because it's become a ritual, like Hercules said, just a set of rules, a set of stuff that you do, then tonight is a crossroad for you. Tonight you need to come back to Him in a relationship. And it doesn't matter if you're a cell leader, a zone leader, a pastor. You know, it is just so important that we understand who He is and His love for us. And so if that's you tonight, won't you just come out and we want to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to Christ. Then tonight you need to come back to that place where you experience His love. But you say yes to that friendship, to that relationship with Him, but also to His Lordship. Where you say, yes, God, I'm giving you my life because I cannot save myself. So if there's anybody here tonight that needs to make a recommitment, well, you need to come to Him because things have become so complicated in your life.
then won't you just come out quickly? We're going to wait for you right in front here on my left-hand side. If there's anybody like that, maybe there's just one person. Won't you just come quickly? If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand next to you and say, look here, I want to just make a public confession again of who Christ is in my life. I want you to come out tonight. You know, there was a lady, we had the privilege of baptizing her in the bath, and she's been waiting for a year and a half to get baptized. She fasted for more than 2 weeks for the moment just to be able to identify with Jesus Christ. And she was crying and weeping the whole evening because she understood the cross of Jesus Christ. She understood what He did for her. And if God is speaking to you tonight, it's not about the sacrifice, but it's about that life. Won't you come out quickly? Because I know there's some of us here tonight. We've walked away from that life. We've walked away from that place of just Jesus being our friend. And maybe you do all the right stuff. It felt to me like I got saved again this week. Because one morning we were just worshiping, and the next moment, you know, we just do stuff because we do them, you know. It's nice to worship and nice songs. And after the second song, we started to weep like babies for 2 or 3 hours. God just broke our hearts. And you know, God comes to a place, there comes a place where you just want raw God. You want nothing else. So if that's you, I want you to come out quickly tonight, because we're gonna just say yes again to God. We're going to say, God, come. Jesus, come. I want raw Jesus. I want everything. In my captivity, in my destruction, in my worthlessness. And I sense there's some of us here tonight that in your head you know that you have got no friends in this world. You feel like an outcast. Then especially you need to come tonight. You feel like nobody loves you. There's no friends around. Nobody invites you to stuff. And you've got this massive battle. Jesus wants to be your best friend. And so won't you come quickly, because we want to pray with you tonight. So just come. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand next year. We're going to just pray together. But I want us, all of us, to pray this prayer tonight. Is that all right? You're not just going to pray with the people in front. Because that's what relationship with God is about. I sense there's a lady here. I may be wrong, but there's a massive battle going on. And you're so confused at the moment. And Jesus wants to stop that confusion in your life. But you have to come tonight. And you're trying to figure it out in your head. You're about 24 years old, and you need to come to Him tonight. You need to say to Him, God, I trust You. I trust You. And it's so difficult for us to trust, but you can trust Him because of the cross. So if God is speaking to you, then let's just come, because we can trust Him. We can surrender, because He died on the cross. He died for you and He died for me. We're going to just pray together now. I'm going to ask us to be bold, because there's some of us that, you know, we don't take moments like this serious, but when people come to Jesus, it's the most awesome, awesome place. I just discovered it this week again. You know, we were having communion together, and it was the first time in a month that these believers could have communion together. And it took us 2 days to plan for the communion as to when is the right timing for the communion, because they had so much respect for who God is and the things of God. So tonight as we come, I'm going to ask all of us just to go on our knees as we surrender to Christ and just say to Jesus, Jesus, come into our lives. If you've got like maybe physical problems, it's fine. And you can just sit on your chair. But just as a sign of surrender. I want us all to pray together. Lord, tonight I come to You. Let's all pray together. Lord, tonight I come to You. Not with fancy words, not with my head, but with my heart. I'm a slave, Lord. I'm a captive in this world. I'm imprisoned by my own fears, by my sins, and by this world. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I ask that You open up the prison doors. Open up the door of my heart. Because I want to know you, Lord. Wash me clean with your blood, God. Thank you that you offer forgiveness, God. I want to accept that tonight. I do not deserve it, Lord. But I thank you that you have freely given yourself to me so that I can live and not die. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I struggle to trust, but I yield control to you because I know what you've done on the cross. You died for me. You died for the world. Tonight, I want to have a relationship with you, but on your terms, not on mine. I have failed, God, so many times. But tonight I thank you that you come again. You are faithful, even in my captivity, even in the times, Lord, when I want to run away. I thank you for relationship, God. I decide tonight to take up my cross and to follow you. I deny the world. I deny the things of this world. I deny my flesh. I deny my own desires to want to do things in my own way. I deny my rebellion, Lord. I repent of it. I am rebellious, and I've been rebellious. I don't look for your ways, but I thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, to have a relationship with Jesus and with the Father, not on my terms, but on yours. I bow my knee to you, God, and I thank you that you have plans to prosper me, to give me a future and a hope, but I recognize that it's only in Jesus, it's only in your will, that I will ever be happy and full of joy. I thank you tonight for your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.